The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All of mine shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Middle of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we connect with the commissioner of the National Hockey League. Gary Bettman is going to stop by in just a little bit as we get into 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. How long have you known the commissioner?
I first met Gary when he took the job in 1993. I was working at CTV, running the Olympic program that went to Lillehammer, Norway. I was a little ballsy back then. I obviously had a history with the National Hockey League through my time at Hockey Night and with my time working in the United States for doing games for NBC and the such. So he got the job, and I wrote him a letter and saying, Gary, if you ever need any help, I'm here. And when I have the letter still. I have the letter at home, and I read the letter now, and I go, "Oh my God! Who do you think you are?" I mean, but you know what? He was kind enough to reply, and then we got connected during the Olympic time in '94. He came on our show in Norway because that was the last year really that amateurs played at the Olympics, and we went on to Japan and '98, and in the meantime, I went back to Hockey Night. So we've been friends over that period of time. And then I worked for him for 5 years too.
Don't sweat it, John. We've all had awkward moments with the commissioner. Like it's almost a rite of passage. So it's totally fine.
We've had our share of disagreements too.
Big news out of Long Island, and Seattle makes the expected change, but we can dig into it a little bit. And Vancouver dominated the scene for a few hours this week, despite not being in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Want to get to all three, but Gary's logged in. The light's on. Let's go to the commissioner first, and then we'll dissect some pretty newsy items beyond the scope of the 16 teams that are in the playoffs. So back with Gary Bettman next on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Get to catch up with the commissioner of the National Hockey League early in this first round before your tour of the various venues starts. When do you hit the road?
It's hard to say. You know, it's interesting at this stage of the playoffs. In earlier days when technology wasn't as efficient, I would be at more games because I wanted to see as much hockey as I could. When we have four games a night, and sometimes three going on at the same time because of overtime or what have you, it's much easier and more efficient and actually better to keep pace of what's going on by watching it on television or through whatever media panel or platform you're using. So it's somewhat opportunistic as to where I get and when. I've actually been to, I think, the majority of the team's buildings that are still playing so in the playoffs. So I don't know. We'll see. And I've got other things going on right now. The day job tends to interfere with some of the travel.
Is that a playoff beard already?
No, some days and weeks I shave and some I don't. I wouldn't get too carried away. It'll probably be gone by the weekend because I have to attend a wedding with my wife and she's not a fan of the beard. So we all have people who are accountable.
By the way, we now have something in common.
Your wife doesn't like yours either?
Oh, she hates it.
Yeah, I don't have it because she hates it. I have it because I hate shaving. So comes and it goes.
Well, so you talked about your day job. And one of the reasons it's great to have you on is, you know, with the playoffs on and everybody's focused on 16 teams and 8 games in a series or in the series, what are you worried about? What are you dealing with?
Well, I'm not worried about anything. I'm excited about the opportunities. I'm excited about the season that we've had. And I'm excited about how the playoffs are unfolding in terms of the excitement and the entertainment value and, for the most part, the competitiveness of the series. We're doing a little bit of collective bargaining with the Players Association, and that's something we're focused on. It's the time of year where we have to get budgets prepared for next season. And we want to make sure that we're firing on all cylinders in terms of the marketing and promoting of the game. So there's never a shortage of anything to do. I think the media world tends to get consumed with, as you described it, the latest problem. We're not dealing with problems right now. We're dealing with opportunities to continue to grow the game.
I had heard it mentioned that the CBA was hopeful that it could be announced around the Stanley Cup final or before the end of the playoffs. Is that still realistic?
If you had to, take a shot in the dark, that's possible. I wouldn't rule it in. I wouldn't rule it out. But I do believe that we're having very constructive, positive discussions. And I'm hopeful that we can do our business quickly and quietly.
Is there a different tone to these negotiations?
Than in the past?
Yeah.
You think? and that's a testament to Marty Walsh and his focus, his attitudes on collective bargaining, his desire to collaborate, and his fundamental understanding that when the business of the game and the game are good, that's good for everybody.
Is this a scenario, Gary, where I'm not sure how many times you and Marty are in the room negotiating. This is where staff are doing a lot of the back business and working things out?
No, it's really small teams that include, among others, Bill Daly and me and Ron Hainsey and Marty. And to the extent necessary, we may have other groups interact. You know, we each have lawyers. But at the end of the day, I think it's collective bargaining, but we're doing it in a collaborative, constructive way. And when you have a sophisticated, smart, committed partner on the other side, it's a much different process than if from day one it starts as an adversarial process over who can win and who's going to lose. That's not anything that we've embraced, but when you're confronted with it, you do what you got to do.
The PA doesn't have to approve expansion, but is that part of the conversation as you work through a new CBA of possibilities there?
No, that was a good backdoor way of finding out if we were working on expansion.
Thank you.
Darren, that was very clever. At the end of the day, there's no difference in what I've been saying probably now for the last couple of years. Yes, there are expressions of interest. When somebody is ready to check all the boxes and put it all together, and I'll re-describe the boxes if you want, I'll have the board take a look at it. We're not committed to expansion, and we're certainly not committed to the type of process that I think some people would expect, where you say, okay, everybody who's interested, submit an application by X date and we'll decide. That's not what we're doing. It's really more holistic, if you will, for lack of a better word. If somebody, you know, decides they really want an expansion team, and they're a suitable owner in terms, not just background, but has the resources to do it, that there's an arena or the prospect of an arena that's suitable for an NHL team, that the market is the right market, and we can demonstrate that it makes the league stronger, then those are the boxes that got checked. But in this day and age, building arenas or stadiums in any sport, buying teams in one of the four major sports has gotten increasingly expensive, and somebody would have to put the whole package together.
So there's not a timeline there. It's more when somebody is prepared to do it.
If somebody comes forward and said, okay, here's how I'm checking the boxes. I've got them all accounted for. This is how and where I'm going to build a building and pay for it. This is, you know, what we expect the terms of expansion to be. This is why this is a great market. This is why it's going to be good for the league. Then if we're satisfied at the league office level, I'll then take it to the board, or first to the executive committee, to see if there's an interest in moving forward. Nobody is committed, not that people are necessarily against it, but nobody's committed to doing expansion now or on any particular timetable. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. 32 teams is working pretty well. Our franchises, all of them, have never been stronger, healthier, more supported by their communities. They all have terrific ownership. So we're in a good place in terms of franchises, which is why at 32, there need not be a commitment to do more, just the possibility.
The concept of, and somebody explained this to me, the NHL is at a disadvantage in the United States because you're only in 25 markets.
Actually, less.
Okay. When you think of 3-2 in California and 3 in New York.
Correct.
How much of a concern is that when you talk about, well, you know, Keith Wachtel has to go out and sell this stuff.
Yeah, Keith has not had any trouble selling. I think we have 73 national sponsors, more than the other of the major four major sports. It's not a problem. It may present an opportunity. Right. We're more than holding our own. Yes, if we had more NHL markets in the U.S., would the ratings be higher? Probably, because those markets would be where we're not, would be more engaged when they are. But again, we've been, you know, we started certainly in my lifetime in four U.S. markets. So, you know, maybe we're not in as many U.S. markets as the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball, but we're certainly in a substantial number of important markets. We like what we are, and it's more than we were, you know, going back to the mid-60s.
I'm not sure you ever, when you took over, expected to get to 32, but is there a max number?
No. I never had an expectation one way or the other. I believe that this was a sport that was underappreciated and underpresented, and that we could grow because there would be a lot of interest in being part of the NHL. You know, is there a maximum number? Yeah, I suppose at some point. It's not anything I focus on or worry about. Do I think we have enough talent playing hockey where we could have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 more clubs? Sure. Would we have 10 more clubs? It's not something I've ever contemplated, and I don't think that's anything in our collective lifetimes the league would ever be confronted with deciding.
When you speak of talent, how involved are you and I assume Bill in the NCAA CHL situation between USA Hockey and Hockey Canada?
Well, we're not directly involved. We're aware, obviously, of what's going on. From our standpoint, the biggest issue is how do our draft rules under the collective bargaining agreement fit with what is going on in a new world order. I think that it will change the dynamic of how players, young players, develop and make their way to the NHL. And I'm not sure that that's necessarily a bad thing overall for the players. I've never been a fan of a 15-year-old having to decide whether or not he wanted to forego college to go in one direction. And I think having more opportunities for young people to decide their life course without fully committing one way or the other at an age where either their intellectual or hockey development still has a way to go, I think long-term this will sort itself out and will probably be a positive.
Your phrasing on how you are watching games right now was interesting because you talked about TV and then other platforms. Streaming entered the market in a big way, certainly in Canada this year with the Monday Night package. So what's your reaction to how they presented it?
There's going to be an increasing emphasis on telling stories, on using data, on having background access, because the way that we all consumed and continue to consume sports has changed from when we were younger people, not necessarily youngsters, want to consume it more on their terms, and they have a greater thirst for what I'll best describe as more.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and streaming has the capacity to provide more than linear, but linear continues to be important in terms of overall exposure. And our linear partners do a great job, and so do the streaming, to the extent we're being presented on streaming. Streaming is fascinating. I met a friend for dinner last night. I wanted to go early because of the times that we were going, and I was thinking about, okay, what restaurant we can go to would have a TV set? And then I said, no, we don't have to be governed by that. I'll just bring my iPad, and I can watch the game anywhere. Yeah. And so the ability to get what you want, when you want, where you want it has never been greater. And I think that's great for us and for all sports.
Are you concerned? I mean, the demographic for instance, the Amazon package in Canada, the demographic was outstanding.
Yeah.
Much younger group. Those are the cord cutters watched on streaming services.
And the cord nevers.
There are cord nevers now. That's right. I forgot. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're watching whole games. Does it concern you that people aren't watching whole games anymore? That's something that is of our generation?
You know, I'm not sure that it's as difficult to attract viewing for the entire game as some might suggest. Particularly, I think it's less of a problem for us because of the speed and the intensity and the nonstop action, right? You get 60 minutes of action in our game. Some of the other sports, you get a whole lot less action in the same 2.5 hour, 3 hour window, depending on the sport. It all goes back to how compelling your content is. And I put our content, either from an entertainment standpoint or competitive balance standpoint, up against any product in sports, period, because I think the game's that good. And I think people who followed the game as long as you guys have were in the group that said last year and the year before, the hockey's never been better. And I think this year is no exception. I think compelling content will hold on to eyeballs longer than less compelling content. And our content, as I said, is fast, nonstop, emotional, entertaining. The drama builds. I mean, you know, the other night, if you tuned out the Kings Oilers game, you made a big mistake when it was 4-0. And I think that's what our game is being known for, its unpredictability. we've either set a record or are close to come from behind wins. I think that's great for the game, and it's great for the fan experience.
And it was also great for us in Vegas last night because it was 4-1 after 2 for the Wild, and we were able to lean in on that Oilers comeback saying, hey, don't go anywhere. It happened the night before.
Our games are unpredictable. It's part of what makes our competitive balance so good and our entertainment quotient so strong.
Is that why you think that Rodgers came back so strong with their new contract and their deal?
Oh, I would never be presumptuous to suggest why Rodgers did anything other than I assume they wanted to keep the most important media property in Canada, right? That's what we are. I mean, at least every week we have the number one show on television. For the 2 months of the playoffs, we have the number one show every night. We are compelling product. People have analogized that we are to Canada with the NFL is to the United States. I'll take that comparison. I'm delighted that Rodgers, who has been a terrific partner and is going to continue to be a terrific partner, recognized the value in having us.
They're obviously going to sublicense. Do they have to get your permission to sublicense?
Well, it's whether or not they do the sublicensing or we do the sublicensing, we have an understanding as to how that works. But that'll be a collaborative process.
And can it be more than one sublicense?
Time will tell. As I said, whatever decisions ultimately get made will be collaborative.
And the other part of that is just curious. When the original deal came through, it was important not to euthanize Hockey Night in Canada as a brand. Will Hockey Night in Canada still exist on CBC, who own the name?
That's a question you really have to ask Colette Watson,
right. Yeah.
Because they're directly involved with that relationship. We don't have a direct relationship with the CBC, and there are a whole host of issues attendant to that. I don't think it's that simple, including what the future of the CBC is, depending possibly on who wins the election on April 28th, because we've heard a variety of views expressed in terms of what the role of the CBC should be going forward, separate and apart from hockey.
Gary, you've also been very, very respectful of the importance of over the air in both countries. Mm-hmm. It is a vital part of delivering the game to as many people as you can.
Agreed. And by the way, what people tend to overlook with all the deals that are being made, we made a digital deal with Rogers 12 years ago.
Right.
People tend to forget it wasn't just a linear deal. It was also a digital deal because we understood what was coming. We're going media and the various media methods of distribution and platform are going through a transitional period. And the media companies, the platforms are going to be adapting, and consumers are going to adapt, and people our age, and I don't mean to insult you because I think I'm older than both of you, but we're used to consuming in a certain way. But if we learn to consume a little bit differently, we're going to get a richer experience as well. Younger people have what they want from their consumption and how they want to consume it, and we need to be not just respectful of it, we need to be engaged on their terms if we want to maintain their fandom.
The two of you are certainly more up to date and aware of this than I am. But over the air for the regional deals in the United States was a major plus in the last go around, certainly in Vegas and a couple of other locations. So
look at Vegas. You know, the regional, the cable regional, satellite regional went out of business. They're over the air.
Yeah.
And the ratings have tripled, quadrupled.
Yeah.
I mean, and so a little bit of back to the future, if you will. But and on a local basis, I think there's going to continue to be an evolution of how the business is going to work. all of our clubs are concerned with making sure that they have maximum distribution and that fans can access the games locally. The question is, what's the business model going to be like going forward? And that's something that's going to evolve over time. You have over the air, you have streaming services that are pay, you have streaming services that are free but advertiser-based. The model will continue to evolve as everybody figures it out. And as it relates to local, it may be different by market.
How about this for a tease? Playoff scheduling and the first round window and one of Gary Bettman's neighbors. I want to discuss that as we continue on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.
Wow, I don't even know what you're referring to.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Okay, the neighbor thing. One of your neighbors
Gary tweaked me on the regional stuff. How do you talk to people in Chicago right now?
Well,
Chicago is going through.
By the way, that's a carrot. Listen, Colorado had the same issue with cable distribution in Denver. The Rangers and the Islanders have had an issue in New York with cable distribution and not being carried. That's part of why it's all evolving, because cable and satellite companies are handling regional sports differently than they did. And that's why maybe direct-to-consumer is going to become increasingly important, certainly in terms of fan access.
From Chicago to New Jersey, this is a musical tie-in, trying to make the segue. John Bon Jovi was at the game the other night. Huge ovation in Vegas. And I was going to try and get down to him, and I wasn't sure how. And then I thought, do I drop your name? Because doesn't he live down the street for you?
I know John. He's a big fan. Yeah. I think if I looked at my phone, I have his cell phone number. But you know what? I'm delighted that he's a fan. Who's the neighbor you were referring to?
Oh, isn't John Bon Jovi one of your neighbors?
No.
Oh, bad information then.
Who's doing your research?
I got bad information.
All right.
Okay. And we actually have a good friend in common.
Okay.
I don't know, 6-8 months, a year ago, I was at a dinner. A bunch of people got together and he was at. He's a great sports fan. I'm delighted he was at the game in Vegas, and I hope he comes to more games. He's always welcome. I'll even give him tickets if he wants.
Oh, that means we might get tickets too.
Yeah, I agree. So. You guys have credentials, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. It's
we can fix that.
All-Star.
Yes.
Are you committed to Long Island for something? And if so, why?
Because we made a commitment to go there, and then
why not just move them a year?
Well, we're looking at everything. We may, revamp how we do All-Star, either in the short term and the long term. Obviously, this comes out of the fact that Four Nations was such an overwhelming success. I know a lot of people. Initially, when we announced it, were critical of it, suggested it would just be a series of meaningless exhibition games. You couldn't have had more meaningful games. Look at the number of players who emerged from Four Nations injured because players were thrilled to represent their countries. It was important to them. And that's why we had a great event. And we're now, this was intended to be, if you will, the appetizer for a regular schedule of international best-on-best hockey competition. So next season, we'll go to the Olympics in Milan. 2 years after that, we'll do a World Cup. 2 years after that, Olympics. 2 years after that, World Cup. And we'll keep that schedule. And the question is, what do we do in the intervening years? Also, I think our All-Star game, the 3-on-3 and our skills have always been well received, perhaps better than the other sports. But at the end of the day, we've had an opportunity to take a fresh look at things based on the experience we had this year with Four Nations.
Are you able to put a value on Four Nations, a title on or a headline on what came out of it?
It was big.
Mm-hmm. That works. That works.
It was big. I mean, the two Canada-US games, I mean, all the games did well. The ratings were strong across the board, even when Canada and the U.S. weren't playing each other. But, you know, the first game did really well, and the second game was off the charts, the final game. The numbers were similar to the numbers that we had in Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final between Edmonton and Florida. It was a really big deal, and it attracted attention not just of hockey fans, not just of sports fans. People tuned in because it was an interesting event. It captured the imagination, and there was a little bit of what was going on between Canada and the U.S. at the time, which probably fed into that. In the final analysis, I would have preferred we not have that overlay, but it all factored in, and, you know, so that's why I gave you the headline I did. In all sorts of ways, we and the Players Association, who obviously were our partners in doing this, couldn't have been more pleased. And it was a testament to the authenticity, if you will, that our players bring to the game. They're passionate about the game, whether it's our 3-on-3 All-Star game or outdoor games or just the regular season where virtually every game has an impact on what's going to happen in the playoffs. But they also, a third of our players roughly, come from outside of North America. And there is a real pride by all our players in representing the countries from which they come from. And I think that's one of the strengths, one of the things that makes our game great.
And the World Cup will be longer than we saw. I mean, that was only seven games, Gary. The World Cup will be longer. Does that mean that you're going to have to extend the schedule a little bit one way or the other, maybe September?
We'll figure that out as we're doing the schedule. We also, there are going to be at least eight teams, but we also have to decide if there are going to be more teams, if there are going to be qualifications. There are things that we're still working on, and we still have a couple of years to do it. Obviously, the Olympic format's already in place. And, you know, I don't envision that the World Cup should be any longer than the break for the Olympics, but that's just me shooting from the hip.
The window for a round in the playoffs is generally 14 days. Somebody was whispering the other day that it had been expanded for the first round this year. Is there?
There's a lot going on. We have a lot of teams to schedule. Yeah. Obviously, with eight series and 16 teams and building availability and travel and television windows we have to hit from our partners, both in Canada and the U.S., It made it more sensible from a scheduling standpoint. I mean, you can set artificial deadlines, but you also have to take a common sense approach to how you let the playoffs unfold from a scheduling standpoint. And I think Stamatsis Petros may have the most difficult, other than George Parros, an unforgiving job that we have here, because nobody's ever happy with the schedule.
And more exposure per game too, right? If there's fewer games on a night.
Yeah. Well, you know, we typically don't have more than four games on any given night. And, and then scheduling and the windows and how we do it and, you know, what time games start and how we're dealing with Eastern time zone versus Pacific time zone. It all goes into the mix. It's not simple. And depending on who you root for, you probably have complained at one time or another as to how we do the schedule. But it's never one piece. You've got to look at the whole mosaic.
Well, I didn't like the 11 o'clock start, but that's, you know.
Did you stay up and watch the game?
Oh, what do you think? Of course I did.
So did I. Well, 11 o'clock start.
But
that was 8 o'clock local.
You've had a paradigm shift in your league because the last two teams you've added are in the Pacific time zone. So that's a factor. A couple of quick things.
Well, that just balanced things out, though. You know, that you sound like an Eastern centric guy.
I used to talk
to the guy from Vegas. He didn't mind it one bit.
Yeah, it was great. You
know, I think the building was he liked.
The building was alive last night.
He likes 7 o'clock. I don't think he likes 8 o'clock. So when I was a kid, Saturday nights were 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and how about when they start the World Series games or NBA final games at 9 or 9:15 even?
I mean, not happy. We're not happy.
We have it. The scheduling and the way that the season unfolds has gotten more and more complex. And we all, in all the sports, try to do the best we can, particularly with all of the media commitments we have, which are important. Listen, it's important for the 15,000 to 20,000 people that are in a building, but when you're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people watching on a media platform, you got to balance everything out.
Yeah. A couple of quick things. LTIR and postseason, what will you do? Any plans to monitor that?
We're focused on it, and it hasn't really been a problem from a competitive or game playing standpoint. I mean, game playing in terms of the system. We've always monitored the injuries to make sure that everything that was being done was legitimate and above board. But the whole concept is something that we're focused on, and we'll talk about with the players.
That would be a CBA issue.
Well, how you define LTIR and how it works and the fact that there's no cap accounting in the playoffs is something we would have to discuss with the Players Association if we want to change what the status quo is.
The unfortunate discussions of what's going on at the trial in London, obviously you're monitoring that.
Well, listen, what has been alleged is horrific, unacceptable, disgusting. And the purpose of a trial is to establish whether or not there's guilt. None of the players who are on trial have an NHL connection right now. And as to the witnesses who may be called, I'm sure the clubs and we will cooperate to make them available as needed.
Finally, for me, what book are you reading right now?
I can't remember the name of it. It's a pseudo history fiction book about World War II. I just saw it. You know what? I can pull up the name for you. Hold on one second. It's the guy who wrote While the World Played Chess. Hold on.
Your go-to genre? Like World War II?
Yeah, I generally read history and particularly biographies, but every now and then I'll do one that's historically based, and it is Hold Strong by Robert Dugoni.
And it's good.
As I said, the World Played Chess was great. So I vary into somewhat fiction, although it's nonfiction based. Eric Larson is somebody I read a lot of, which is the same.
Have you read the Eric Larson book about the Civil War?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
All of his books, the one about the sinking of the Lusitania was a great book. The Garden of the Beast was a great book. The book on Churchill was great. Big fan of Larson.
Yeah, no, the one about the Civil War, which is called The Demon of Unrest,
yes,
to me was just, it was gripping.
And finally,
Dead
Wake is the one about the sinking of the Lusitania. That to me was, I mean, the sense you got is you were in the submarine. I mean, it was crazy. Good.
Yeah. And finally, what's on your playlist right now?
I'm still classic vinyl, classic rock, so... You know, I'm so old school when it comes to that. Nothing makes me happier than to go on Sirius or Pandora and just let the playlist unfold as they do it, using their data to figure out you know, what the right algorithm is for the music, but that's what I listen to.
You would have loved seeing the guys from Metallica at the hockey game in Toronto last night. So
they're a little heavy metal for me. I'm more, you know, The Doors, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, you know, The Stones. That's more my era.
We have to close the door on this one. Great catching up with you. Nice to see you, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Thank you, and thanks for all you guys do to connect with our fans and cover the game. We appreciate it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
For the record, I had the Jon Bon Jovi neighbor thing from a hugely reliable source,
you know,
and I'll be sending that person a text and saying, you threw me under the bus.
I think we should edit that out of the show so you're not embarrassed.
I'm not.
That's how bad it is. That was, you should, you're not embarrassed?
No.
Oh,
I learned something. I learned that John's not his neighbor and now I shouldn't say it anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
You know where I got that.
I can't believe you went with that. You know, you always got to, you know, journalism, you have to check two sources, Darren.
No, I didn't check two sources. I just checked one because it was, yeah. And the person volunteered it to me.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. That night. Let's get them on the phone and tell them they're wrong.
Oh, I've been trying to get this person on the phone and we'll get them. We'll get them on the show, this show, actually. And when it happens, I will bring it back up with that person. Because it's a person that's in our universe. Something that you will never see beside reporting of Millard is the 82-year-old Millard's contract will not be renewed. But that was the phrasing with Lou Lamoriello and the New York Islanders yesterday. You surprised that Lou has been pushed out there?
A little bit, yes. I thought that his relationship with the majority owner, Scott Malkin, was very strong. But at the same time, there's a time for things to happen. I mean, his contract expired June 30th. Which is the end of the fiscal year for the National Hockey League and all the clubs. So is it a pure and utter firing? Yeah, we don't want you back. Or are we going in a different direction? You know, Lou was not just the general manager. Lou was the president of the club, and Lou had his hands into everything. So you have to wonder on the ownership side, were there changes on that side that indicated perhaps they wanted more input into the business world. They wanted more input in different directions. And you also, what's not clear yet is we haven't heard or seen of Patrick Waugh's influence through all this. Because Patrick Waugh went to Long Island thinking he was going to have a run-and-gun hockey team and realized very quickly that it was not going to happen. And so he had to adjust his coaching style for a team that was methodical and classic Lamoriello style hockey. And you wonder if that was a bit of an impact too. Now, you know, when Lou brought stability to the franchise, it was not a very stable organization prior to that, but Lou brought it. He deserves credit for that. But really, you know, their most successful time in Lou's tenure was 3 years ago now. And so you have to wonder if that was a factor as well.
Hypothetically. Because it's easier to say, okay, the 82-year-old's contract's not going to be renewed. If Lou was 55, would this be viewed as more of a hockey decision?
I think it's viewed as a hockey.
You had people checking their
now.
Phones right there going, did my podcast pause?
No, but I think it's a hockey decision now. I don't think age has anything to do with it. You know,
not like time to move on. He's at a stage in his life where we need to just turn the page.
No, I suspect that there was a philosophical difference more than anything else. I mean,
okay.
I mean, Lou Lamoureux's pedigree is beyond reproach. His integrity is beyond reproach. But is it different than the philosophy that ownership wants to go now? To me, is really that's what's become evident in what's happened this week.
I always thought it was going to be an awkward relationship between Patrick Roy and Lou Lamoriello. I hadn't actually heard anything, so
no, neither did I. No, neither did I. But you do wonder in what goes on now, and whoever they bring in, are they going to be endorsed? Are they going to be taking on Patrick Roy for sure? Who knows? Who knows? And hey, listen, with Patrick's pedigree,
mm-hmm.
Patrick may want the job as well. Remember how Colorado ended?
Yeah.
You know, so who knows? It will be fascinating. John Collins, who I know well, who I worked with at the league, and have continued to have communication with. John's got a tough task to maintain stability and find someone new to work on the hockey ops side.
Now, football, the National Football League, coaches have a huge influence in personnel.
Certain cities, yeah. Yeah, certain cities.
More than don't. The situation with Watt, could you see something like that, where he continues
well,
to coach, but
I don't,
has more
I can't
of a
see the day. Say? I can't say. See. No, I can't see that. I can't see the coach / general manager. I can't see that. I think that day and age is gone. Particularly,
no,
where
no,
we're seeing
yeah,
more and
not full general manager, but
wow, well,
fingers in it.
Well, but a good coach manager relationship. There are. You know, you have to help the coach out the best way possible, but you still have to make the decision. So.
Seattle, we'd heard rumblings about this. Ron Francis, yeah. Who was on the show recently, is now president of hockey operations, and Jason Bottrell takes over as the general manager, moved up from assistant general manager. Why this change?
Good question. If you recall at the end of the Ron Francis interview, my last question to Ron is saying, are you happy still doing this? Because he wasn't going to give us the scoop, but it was certainly, I was trying to lead him along because I had heard the same thing, Darren. You know, the team needed an adjustment. Obviously, Dan Bylsma was not a success as a coach. But they need an adjustment, and hopefully with Ron still there and Jason Botterill taking the manager's job on the more day-to-day side, they think they're going in the right direction. You know, I just hope Ron stays completely involved. That's all. That's my personal opinion, that he stays completely active. We have seen guys move from managers to president's job and then we kind of be shuffled aside. I always think of Kenny Holland at the press conference announcing Steve Yzerman being the general manager in Detroit. and Kenny kind of looked lost. Ron didn't look lost yesterday, but you have to wonder what his role really will be on a day-to-day basis. And Ron said it in the press conference that Jason Botterill is going to be making the decisions. So that's pretty similar to
Vegas. George McPhee was the general manager. He moved up and Kelly McCrimmon assumed the role.
Yes,
and
they similar are both, to Vegas.
They do things in harmony. Kelly McCrimmon is the general manager, but there's certainly a strong working relationship in tandem on that side.
You can only hope that same thing occurs in Seattle.
Okay, so Bylsma. People looked sideways, wondering if that was the right decision last year when he was hired. Why didn't
Obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah, a lot of us were proved true on that, although he had great success in Coachella Valley in the American Hockey League, and promoting from within is nothing new. It just seemed to replace Hacksaw with Bysmal, just it seemed like a fit. What kind of coach do you think thereafter? Is it going to have to be an established person with a resume?
Well, I don't think you can throw a rookie in there. Like, I don't see David Carl going to Seattle.
Okay. That's the name that I was thinking.
I think David Carl's probably more appropriate for a couple of other clubs. But, you know, season ticket sales are down in Seattle. Renewals are down. Mm-hmm. They need to create a buzz. They need to create some sizzle in the marketplace. Because their on-ice product obviously did not. So, quite frankly, maybe it has to be a big name that goes to Seattle in order to try to recreate some new interest in the organization.
I'm with you. They need a name. They need somebody with Stanley Cup champion on that resume.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No question in my mind.
Now, Vancouver. There were some interesting comments from Jimmy Rutherford regarding the Hughes brothers.
Yeah. Yes.
Being signed by Vancouver. Now, I immediately went to Ron Wilson. Remember when Ron Wilson got fined for tampering in Toronto because he was talking about the Sedins?
No, I don't remember.
Really? You don't? No. Are you just shoving me aside?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember.
That's what I went to. There were some comments
but he
about
didn't,
it.
You have to have some common sense about this.
I know. I agree. I'm just telling you what I've heard.
Yes. But, I am one of those believers in Jim Rutherford. There's not one ounce of information that comes out of Jimmy's mouth that he hasn't calculated to say. He intended to be transparent with the Vancouver public and the media, and he was. And basically what he said is we've got 2 years to convince Quinn Hughes to stay. And if he doesn't, then he's going to go play with his brothers. And I think that that's pretty straightforward.
Thought Patrick Alleyn was going to spit out his water.
There's only one Jim Rutherford, and he has a resume and a success story that will allow him to say what he wants to say when he wants to say it.
Rick Tocchet, will he coach the Vancouver Canucks next year, in your opinion?
I have my doubts. Mm-hmm. The Canucks have made him an offer that would make him the highest paid coach in Canucks history, more than Alain Vigneault ever got, more than Mark Crawford ever got. So from that perspective, the Canucks are all in on Tocchet. They want Tocchet back, but Rick has to want to be there. Rick has to want to live in that fishbowl. And right now, when you look at around, right now there are six other coaching vacancies in the NHL. And Rick can almost.
Do you consider Rick Tocchet a free agent right now?
I do. Yeah, I do, because the Canucks have announced they're not picking up his option, so his contract is up. Now, now Vancouver has a window between now and June 30th, again, the fiscal year, that they really can control the situation. But I think that the Canucks have handled it well. They're not going to stand in Tocchet's way if he doesn't want to be there. And, you know, as Jimmy said in the press conference, they're hoping to know later this week whether he's going to be the coach of the Canucks or not. I hope he does. I think he's been great in Vancouver. I think his staff has been great. I think Sergei Gonchar and Adam Foote have done well there. But with the money that he's been offered, if it's that good, why isn't he signed already?
Maybe he's worried about the golf game that we've got set up. Took him for lunch last year. Like,
who bought him.
I phrased that poorly.
Is this your way of name dropping?
Totally name dropping.
Yeah.
Massive name dropping.
Yeah.
You ever hear the Darren Pang line? Wayne Gretzky always told me not to name drop.
Right.
That's my way of getting two names in there. You got to go. I'm really busy.
I've told you 1,000 times, don't exaggerate.
Funny how Jimmy always knows what he's saying. Never says something without it being purposeful. And I've never followed that philosophy. So I think Jimmy and I would mesh perfectly.
You think John Bon Jovi's Gary Bettman's neighbor. What the heck?
I got that. Well, from somebody inside the league.
You did. No, by the way, you didn't get it. You heard it, and it wasn't true. So you
I was
didn't...
told that. He does have a famous neighbor, though. He's told me this story. He does have a famous neighbor. It's just not John Bon Jovi.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go search up property records.
You obviously have nothing to do.
No, I have nothing to do today.
Hey, Friday, your old pal Gary Roberts coming on the show.
Ooh.
Battle of Ontario discussion. And then maybe about 6 or 8 of his clients that are in great shape and are still in the playoffs.
Oh, during one of the lockouts, we were doing some skates at North Toronto Arena, and there is some intensity-filled scrimmages. And they all centered around
Everything with Roberts is intense. Yeah. Intense, you know?
His whole career, and I remember those scrimmages more than anything.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it Friday.
Okay. Thanks, buddy. John, all the best, okay?
Right. I'm not sure what that means, but okay.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.